And then he turns round to the companions and finds Huzaifa Yamani there. Comes to Huzaifa Yamani and says, we have a problem in the area from where I come. You perhaps can solve the problem, because I'm waiting for the Holy Prophet and I'm told he is not around today. And Huzaifa says, what is your problem? And this Arab says, my problem is that we are disputing amongst ourselves as to who is the most excellent of companions, who is the most excellent of men around today. And Huzaifa Yamani says, I can surely give you the answer to this question, because it is a question with which the Holy Prophet has dealt himself in this very mosque. So the Arab says, yes, educate me on it. And Huzaifa Yamani says, this is reported in this Sunnah source, Huzaifa Yamani says that the Holy Prophet once came with his little son, Hussein alayhi salam. And having come into the mosque with this little son, he turns to the people and says, do you want to know who is the most noble, the most excellent person by nobility who ever has lived in Medina today? And the people says, yes, Ya Rasulullah, educate us on who is the most excellent person. And Imam and the Holy Prophet lifts Imam Hussein alayhi salam and says, Hada Husseinu, just as he did in Ghadir when he talks of Hada Aliyun. He says, Hada Hussein. He says, he is the most excellent of men ever living in Medina today by virtue of his association with his grandfather and his grandmother. His grandfather is the last of the prophets of Allah, the last of the messengers of Allah, and the leaders of all the Sayyidul Mursaleen, the leader of all the messengers. And his grandmother, Bibi Khadija binti Khuwailid, she was the first of the ladies to bring faith in Islam. So you can see that his grandfather was the one who brought faith to the people, and his grandmother was the first of the ladies to accept that faith of the people. And it does not end with his grandparents. Look at his parents, he says. His father is not only my brother, he is my vizier and my successor. And taking us ourselves back to what we were discussing a couple of years back, how many times in his life did the Holy Prophet mention that Imam Ali alayhi salam is his true successor? He does so again on this occasion, as set out by Sanji in his work, Kifaya. He says that he is his father. And not only that he is my brother and my successor and my wazir, also the fact that he was the first man to bring faith. All disputes on who was the first, and we discussed that in 1998, as to who was the first man to bring faith in Islam. The first lady, of course, stands unanimously accepted as the first lady to bring faith with the Khadija, but the first man to bring faith. And in this hadith, the Holy Prophet proclaims that Imam Ali alayhi salam was the first of Rijal, the first of the men to bring faith. And then says, his mother Fatima, she is Sayyidati Nisa'il Alameen, she is the leader of all the women of all the universes. What better progeny can you find? What more excellent person can you find? And then he says it does not even end there, because his uncle Ja'far, and he is in heaven today flying with his wings because of his sacrifices for Islam. And his aunt is Khani binti Abu Talib, she an illustrious lady in the history of Islam. Those were uncles and aunts from the maternal side. But from the paternal side, his uncle was Qasim, who had predeceased. And aunt was Zainab. Then proceeds to say that greater excellence of this relationship lies in the fact that his grandfather will go to heaven, as will his grandmother, and who can dispute that the Holy Prophet will go to heaven. His father will go to heaven, as will his mother. Indeed, they will be the leaders of the men and women that will go to heaven. And his uncle is already in heaven, Ja'far, and will remain in heaven. And his aunt will go to heaven, and his uncle and aunt on the paternal side will also go to heaven. And so you can see that his excellence is such that he too will follow them in heaven, being leaders of all the youths who will enter heaven. That is the excellence of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, as portrayed by the Holy Prophet himself, unanimously accepted by Muslims. But all these are fadail that the Holy Prophet set out of Imam Hussain alayhi salam in his words and by his own actions, as we saw the actions last night. But one hadith which you know of so well, and I just want to touch on it to underline its significance, is the hadith that all our children know, that when the Holy Prophet was on one occasion leading prayers, Imam Hussain alayhi salam runs into the mosque and climbs onto the back of the Holy Prophet whilst he was in sajda. And on that occasion, the Holy Prophet prolonged his sajda. He continued with the dhikr until Imam Hussain alayhi salam voluntarily came down from the back of the Holy Prophet, and the Holy Prophet completed the sajda. And again, this I cite from the Sunni source. Khawarizmi in Maqtal al-Hussain sets out this particular episode and says that when the prayers were over, people went to the Holy Prophet and said, "O Messenger of Allah, why did you prolong the sijda?" "We thought it may just have been a wahi. Maybe Allah sent wahi to you." Of course he did, as we shall presently see. "Sent wahi to you, and this is why you prolonged the sijda, as you were receiving a revelation." And the Holy Prophet said, "No. There was no revelation of the kind you are talking of. No ayah of Quran was revealed whilst I was in sijda." So they said, "What you were worried about was that maybe you were unwell, but your voice did not change. So we did not know what to do. And we kept remaining prostrating as you were prostrating and did not cut off our prayers to look after you." And the Holy Prophet said, "Yes, that was well done. Because what happened was that Hussein mounted on my back. And I did not want that I should continue with the prayers and sit, causing him the slightest injury, of dropping off from my back." You might ask, how many feet would the drop be? 1 foot? 2 feet at the most? How much would that child be injured? But the Holy Prophet says to the Ummah, "I will extend that sijda, but I will not suffer that Hussein alayhi salam should be injured even by that short drop from my back whilst I'm in sijda to the floor." And this is well reported. Hadith you very well know, but point I wish to emphasize is that not only is it well reported in Sunni sources, it shows that the excellence of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in the eyes of Allah is such that when he is on the back of the Holy Prophet, when he is in prayer, even that prayer by the command of Allah could not have been interrupted by the Holy Prophet. I say by the command of Allah, because how did the Holy Prophet know that the one who has climbed on his back was Hussein? He was in sajda, he was in the course of prostration. So he must have received that ilham, that knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only that Hussein is on your back, but prolong the sijda and do not raise your head from the sijda until he comes down voluntarily. That is the status. That is the status Allah has given to Imam Hussain alayhi salam, portrayed by the Holy Prophet when he is actually in the state of worship of Allah. And this is how the excellence of Imam Hussain alayhi salam was portrayed by the Holy Prophet. Indeed, talking of injury to Imam Hussain alayhi salam, it is again well documented, and Ibn Shahri Ashub reports that on one occasion the Holy Prophet rushes to the house of Bibi Fatima next door and says, "Fatima, why is Hussain crying?" Admonishing, as it were. One could not have faulted Bibi Fatima to Zahra salamullahi alayha. She is amongst those from whom it is said, "Wa hum yutahhirukum tatahira." That is the level at which that lady stands. And the Holy Prophet is there to admonish Bibi Fatima to Zahra alayha salam for this, for the fact that Hussein was crying. The Holy Prophet turns to her and says, Fatima, why is Hussein crying? And Fatima says, no, father, there is nothing serious, there is nothing urgent about it. It's just a small thing. And the Holy Prophet's words to Bibi Fatima to Zahra says, Fatima, even if it is a small thing, you know how much it pains me when I hear Hussein crying even for the smallest of things. Do not cause that occasion to be repeated when Hussein would cry for even the smallest of things. And these are matters made public. Imam Hussein alayhi salam was one whom the Holy Prophet called his own son. Now that perhaps is one of the greatest excellence of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, to be called the very son of the Holy Prophet. And indeed, not only did the Holy Prophet again and again call him his son in battlefields, in the Holy Mosque, in Medina, some of which incidents we discussed last night. But the episode became even clearer after the Holy Prophet, and we have discussed this a couple of years ago, in Siffin. But I wish to touch on that episode again from a different angle tonight. In Siffin, Muhammad ibn Hanafiya was fighting. Indeed, before him, Imam Hassan alayhi salam was fighting. And that was really the first occasion when Muawiyah came to know of the valor and courage of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. And that is why when Imam Hassan alayhi salam set out to fight Muawiyah, it was indeed Imam Hassan alayhi salam who challenged Muawiyah and took the army to fight him. Muawiyah did not fight Imam Hassan alayhi salam, as you will recall from our discussions last year. He entered into a settlement. He bribed the people in the army of Imam Hassan alayhi salam and asked that Muslims should accept bribes, even when they are fighting in the cause of religion. But they did. But even after that, Imam Hassan alayhi salam was prepared to fight on singly. With, of course, Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam. But Muawiyah did not want to fight on, because Muawiyah saw Abbas alayhi salam, and inshallah we shall have occasion to discuss it, Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam, singly on his own one day. But his valor was already well known and became more well known in Siffin than at any other place. Likewise, Imam Hassan alayhi salam's valor in the battlefield had become so conspicuous in Siffin. That was the person fighting on in Siffin for the cause of Islam. And a stage was reached when Imam Ali alayhi salam calls back Imam Hassan and sends Muhammad ibn Hanafiya and says, you take on. When Muhammad ibn Hanafiya comes back and a new battle is now to start, at the start of a new battle, Hazrat Ali alayhi salam says to Muhammad Hanafiya, proceed and march on for the next battle. And at that time, Muhammad ibn Hanafiya says, father, why are you sending me again? And Imam Ali alayhi salam's answer was, my son, only because you are my son. Now, that proposition, very well known proposition, in itself created an ambiguity, and that is the ambiguity I wish to discuss tonight. Muhammad Hanafiya was not challenging Imam Ali alayhi salam. His obedience to his father and his piety, particularly recognizing Imam Ali alayhi salam as the Hujjah of Allah, was such that he would not conceive of disobedience, and he would readily march on and fight because he was a man of valor and courage. We shall discuss in a few nights why Muhammad ibn Hanafiya was not taken to Karbala. But in Siffin, he turns around to his father, says, why? And the father says, oh my son, because you are my son. Who else do I send? And Muhammad ibn Hanafiya turns to his father and says, father, isn't Hassan your son? Created an ambiguity in the mind of Muhammad Hanafiya. Not that he was reluctant to go. Not that he was saying, you are sending me and not sending another son. Not at all. That ambiguity needed to be cleared. And who better to clear it for us than Muhammad ibn Hanafiya? And the answer, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, yes, indeed he is. But more than mine, he is the son of the Holy Prophet. Because these two sons, Hassan and Hussein alayhi salam, are the sons of the Holy Prophet. You are my son. Muhammad ibn Hanafiya instantly takes his sword and goes off to fight. This episode of Siffin is described in Nahj al-Balagha. Now, the commentator of Nahj al-Balagha, Ibn Abil Hadid, as you know, is no Shi'i person at all. He is Mu'tazali. And that Mu'tazalite commentator, reaching on this part, says, this is very well known, that the Holy Prophet called them his sons again and again, that Imam Ali alayhi salam admitted that they were the sons of the Holy Prophet. But there are criticisms among some historians as to how can they be sons when they were in fact grandsons. But this Mu'tazilite says, there is no merit in this criticism. There is absolutely no substance in it. And he sets out three reasons. He says the first of the reasons is that in Mubahala, the Holy Prophet was doing no more than complying with express command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the command from Allah was, قُلْ تَعَالُوا نَدُوا أَبْنَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَاءَكُمْ. Tell them, come, you call your sons, and we will call our sons. How many a companion dreamt that night that they might be in Mubahala? I have discussed with you, and I shall not take your time restating what we then discussed, how Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas, the father of Umar ibn Sa'ad, Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas, in the court of Muawiyah says, one time when I really envied Ali and his two sons was at the time of Mubahala. The ayah was revealed, and the Holy Prophet says, tomorrow we shall have the Mubahala, and we wanted to see who is being taken. Will I be taken? And I was standing next to the Holy Prophet. They were not even told who would be taken. The only person who had a faint glimpse of who they might be was Salman. Because Salman was told, oh Salman, get me a small mat. Because when we go to Mubahala tomorrow, we will need a place to sit. So bring me in the morning a small mat. And Salman says, I got troubled. How do I choose that mat? But I found a small mat before midnight. Next morning after Fajr prayers, I approached the Holy Prophet and said, Ya Rasulullah, will this mat suffice? And the Holy Prophet says, yes, this is ample. It was a small mat. Salman said, I immediately came to know that it will be a very small group that will move for that Mubahala. And then Salman is told, but keep that mat, keep our mat for our side under a tree. So Salman says, Ya Rasulullah, if this is for Mubahala, isn't it usual for it to be under the sun, under the sky? And the Holy Prophet says, yes, Salman, usually so. But not on this occasion, because I will have little children with me. And I do not want them subjected to the heat of the sun during that occasion. Salman said, I immediately knew who those little sons would be. And the next day, the two sons who are taken, and this is uncontroverted. Historians are unanimous on this, because indeed, as you know, Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas mentioned this in the court of Muawiyah. The only two sons who were taken were Hassanayn alayhim as-salam. Ibn Abil Hadid in his commentary in Nahj al-Balagha says, therefore, that these are two people who are called sons of the Holy Prophet by command of Allah, because Allah's order to the Holy Prophet in Quran, so this can't be controverted now, in Quran was to take his sons. And when the only two people he takes are Hassanayn alayhim as-salam, indubitably, those are his sons. Those then are his sons. But then, Ibn Abdul Hadid goes further and says, look at the status of Isa ibn Maryam. Isa ibn Maryam did not have a father. His progeny did not flow through him, nor did it flow to him through a male ancestry at all. And yet, Quran describes Isa ibn Maryam being from the progeny of Ibrahim. Hence, you notice the Christians today fall themselves in line with the Jews and with us, saying that all these three major families, major religions, are Abrahamite religions. The Christians call themselves Abrahamite because even the Quran accepts, as does the Torah, that by analogy, that progeny can come through the female ancestry, and this is the ancestry through which the Holy Prophet says that his ancestry, his progeny will flow, progeny of the Holy Prophet through his daughter rather than through his son. And then Ibn Abi al-Hadith discusses the last criticism that is made. Says, well, Hassanain cannot be the sons of the Holy Prophet because the Holy Prophet cannot have a son. Ma kana Muhammadun aba. Ma kana Muhammadin aba rajulun minkum. Muhammad cannot be a father of any man from amongst you. Ayah of Quran. And so they argue that if Ayah of Quran says that the Holy Prophet cannot be a father of anybody at all, then how can he be a father of Hassanain alayhim as-salam? And Ibn Abi al-Hadid answers it for us. He says that ayah was revealed for Zayd ibn Harith, who claimed to be the son of the Holy Prophet, entirely by custom of the Jahiliyyah, the pre-Prophet community of Arabs would have regarded him as a son. And yet his manners were such that he could not have been accepted as a son of the Holy Prophet. And so this holy verse was revealed to exclude him from the sonhood of the Holy Prophet. Yet, there is no doubt, and all Muslims accept, that the Holy Prophet had a son called Ibrahim. And nobody disputes that Ibrahim was a son of the Holy Prophet. So there can be no exclusion of childhood vis-a-vis the Holy Prophet. The exclusion was for that particular person. And as much as Qasim and Ibrahim can be sons of the Holy Prophet and he can be called Abul Qasim, likewise Hassanain alayhi as-salam can be sons of the Holy Prophet. Here is a Mu'tazilite analysis of the situation, putting it beyond question that Imam Hussein alayhi as-salam was not only granted but was entitled to that fadila of being the son of the Prophet through auspices of divinity itself through this ayah of Quran. That is the position that Quran and the Holy Prophet gives to Imam Hussein alayhi salam in his fadila in that particular incident. But one other way in which we are criticized today is that when we want to seek wishes, and in particular when we want to be forgiven for sins, and this is an important aspect of our relationship with Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Not only worldly wishes that we consider important, but forgiveness of our sins, which is a primary cause of anxiety to us. And we gather in these majalises in the hope that the blessings of this particular gathering will help our sins being washed. And I do not wish to cite authority for this. That authority you recite all the time. Hadith Kisa says this very clearly, that when Shias gather, angels descend and they pray to Allah for so long as that gathering remains. And hence it is important that we do not rush these gatherings by the clock. But we tend to do that because Hadith Kisa teaches us that so long as we are gathered, angels descend. And angels pray to Allah. If our prayers are not accepted, these are angels now, sinless, praying for us. Angels pray to Allah to forgive all our sins that we may have committed. Some hope that we can bear when angels pray for us. But when we ourselves do pray to Allah to forgive our sins, we ask Him to forgive our sins for the sake of Hussein alayhi salam. And it is our fervent, rational knowledge that sins would be forgiven for his sake. Proof of that lies in a number of authorities, and I will cite but one so that we move on. And that hadith Ibn Shahr Ashub reports that an Arab committed sins and was very repentant about it. And he thought, what will be the best way to attain forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And this particular episode has significance for us even today. And it has practical reality for us today. Because it's an example we can well follow, and we do follow. But I just wish to remind you of how we are following it, particularly those who have just come back from Hajj and who have been to Medina, to the grave of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Well, this Arab waits for an opportunity when he finds the two sons, Hassanain alayhi salam, on their own. And when that occasion arrives, he grabs both of them, grabs these two little children, puts them on his shoulders. In other words, he acts exactly as the Holy Prophet acted, as we saw last night and as we saw last year, how Umar bin Khattab saw the Holy Prophet carry the two children. He carried those two children and enters the Holy Mosque to the Holy Prophet. And you can imagine how Holy Prophet must have been pleased to see one of his followers, one of his adherents, following him in those footsteps, carrying the children as he carried them. He brings the children there and the Holy Prophet says, what makes you do this? And he says, oh Messenger of Allah, I do this because I have come to seek refuge with Allah and with these two in respect of the sins I have committed, so that Allah may forgive me. And you pray that Allah, you forgive me, and you pray that Allah should forgive me. And the Holy Prophet says, yes, for the sake of these two, and those are the important words, for the sake of these two, I have forgiven you for what you have done, and I have prayed, and turns to the children then and says, for the sake of you two, I have prayed for him to Allah, that Allah should forgive him, and Allah has forgiven him. And that ayah of Quran is revealed. Let no one tell us that this is a Shiite exaggeration. That ayah of Quran is then revealed, which says that in respect of those who يغفر الله ويغفر لهم الرسول لوجدوا الله توابا رحيما. For those who have sinned, and having sinned, they go to the Holy Prophet to seek forgiveness. And they seek forgiveness of Allah through the Holy Prophet in that way. Those are the people who will find Allah most forgiving, Tawwab and Rahima, most forgiving and most merciful. And that is an ayah of Quran that we all recite when we are in Medina. We recite that ayah at the end of the ziyarah of the Holy Prophet, repeating that particular incident that I have just set out, saying that the ayah of Quran is that in respect of those who seek for forgiveness, in respect of their sins, and they go, is ja'u, to the Holy Prophet, they go to the Holy Prophet, and having gone to the Holy Prophet, they seek forgiveness from the Holy Prophet and ask the Holy Prophet to seek forgiveness for them. We repeat that ayah and then tell the Holy Prophet in Medina, we say, oh Messenger of Allah, likewise as you did for those who came to you when you were alive, I have also come to visit you. I also am sinful and I have come here with my sins. I seek forgiveness of Allah in your presence, in your mosque. You also pray for me that Allah may forgive my sins. You can see the reality of what I'm saying, and I said this is a real, real matter, not a matter of mythology, not a matter of a Shia's exaggeration. It is a matter of reality that occurred in Medina. An example that is set out in our ziyarah with that ayah of Quran, and on the basis of that ayah of Quran, we seek forgiveness from Allah in respect of all our sins through the auspices of the Holy Prophet. Well, so one can see that seeking forgiveness for the sake of Hussein and Hassanayn alayhim as-salam has its own place. When therefore we are at the graveside of the Holy Prophet, it is meet that we not only cite that ayah of Quran, but we tell the Holy Prophet that we ask you to intercede now. Intercession on the Day of Judgment, inshaAllah, will come. But we tell him, we intercede your intercession now for forgiveness of these sins for the sake of your two sons, Hassanayn alayhim as-salam. But proof, and I wish to complete this topic with this last example, an example, again, very familiar to you, but I wish to take the essence of it for the purposes of my argument. The essence of the excellence of Imam Hussain alayhi salam is revealed also by the fact, apart from all these arguments I put forward, also by the fact that in this world he has been portrayed by history as a person belonging to Jannah. He lived in this earth as he would be living in heaven. What he talked about this earth, what he thought of life in earth, we shall inshallah discuss in a matter of a couple of nights. Exactly how he saw the earth, how he saw the world, how he saw the wealth. Put it to Muawiyah and to Yazid and to Umar ibn Sa'd and to Hur and in his other sayings which are so famous. We shall of course allude to them. But despite his that feeling of this earth, despite his realization of the transitoriness of the world and its non-utility, yet Allah so placed him in this earth that he lived on this earth when he so wished as though he was in heaven. And these examples are well known again and again. Ibn Shahri Ashub sets them out in his work beautifully. When it comes to food, for example, you know so well the hadith that when Hassanayn alayhi as-salam was sick and Bibi Fatima Zahra salamullah alayha and Imam Ali alayhi as-salam made a vow that when they get well, they will fast, and they did fast. The breakfast loaves were taken away and they gave them away. And again, that cannot be criticized as an exaggeration by Shias, because the ayah of Quran is there to prove it. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطُعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. And then they say, نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِينُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. We have given you these loaves entirely for the pleasure of Allah. We do not want even your thanks for these loaves. We do not want any recompense. لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا. Do not even thank us. That is the level of the manasik of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. And mind you, in that particular verse, Imam Hussain alayhi as-salam is included. Because it was not only the true the essence of the surah of Halata is for Bibi Fatima Zahra salamullahi alayha. There has never been doubt on that. But those loaves were not only given by her. They were her holy hands which prepared them. The blessings in those loaves came through her cooking, through her holy hands, of course. And all that, therefore, is due to her. But insofar as the giving is concerned, وَيُطْعِمُونَ, the giving of that food was by each one of them, and that includes Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And when that food was given away and they remained with water, you know too well, next day food from heaven came on the prayers of the Holy Prophet, and they ate food from heaven. But that, you might say, was the prayer of the Holy Prophet, saying, "Oh Allah, you see the position of my Ahlul Bayt, and I look to you to feed them." And Jibreel brought food. Right. But the other incident, which is also incontroverted, is that a day came when the Holy Prophet was with Jibreel. A revelation had just been given. And these two children, Hassan and Hussein alayhim as-salam, move in. They ran into the room. Usually, people are not allowed in. Not even children, when a revelation was revealed. But the incident and the instance of these two children was quite separate. They move in and they say, Jibreel makes a salam to them. This is the level of Hassanayn alayhim as-salam. This archangel salutes them. They reply and say, "Jibreel, what gift have you brought for us?" This may just have been a casual statement from them, a friendly statement, but it shows the closeness, that proximity of relationship between Jibreel and them. When you meet a friend, what friend will you say, "What gift have you brought for us?" Unless there is that affinity, there is that proximity which removes formality and creates that light atmosphere between the two. You can see the relationship therefore between this archangel and these children. And the children say, what gift have you brought for us?" Jibreel immediately turns his wings to heaven, and three pieces of fruit fall down immediately, including a pomegranate and an apple. And Jibreel picks them up and hands them over to the two sons. The two sons, when they receive them, immediately hand them over to the Holy Prophet. And this is purely good manners. Good manners which they kept teaching. Good manners which we as followers of Imam Hussein alayhi salam have got to keep, to perpetuate, because this is an inheritance to us from them, inheritance of good manners, of how we behave to our parents, how we behave in presence of our parents, how we look after our parents, how we seek their blessings through these gestures. And when the Holy Prophet receives them, all he does is he sends them so that he gets the sense of Jannah, because these fruits obviously came from Jannah, from the heaven. Gives them to the two children and says, "Take them to your parents and give them to your parents." And the children take the fruits and bring them to Imam Ali alayhi salam and Bibi Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha. They receive the apples, they sent them. They receive all the fruits. And it is said that those fruits were eaten by all the four of them. But the glory about those fruits was that as they were eaten, they regrew, so that the apple remained the same, the pomegranate remained the same, and the third fruit remained exactly the same as they ate. And this is the quality and the proof of the fruit being the fruit of Jannah. Because in Jannah, you will not even crave, you will not even have to pick up a fruit from a tree. You only think of having an apple and it is there before you. This is what Surah Yasin says. وَمَا يَدَّعُونَ. Anything that you think of having, you have on the spot, and it does not finish, as Surah Waqia says. And that is exactly what happened to those fruits. But when Imam Ali alayhi salam passed away, suddenly the pomegranates disappeared. I beg your pardon. When Bibi Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha, because she was the first to pass away preceding Imam Ali alayhi salam, the third fruit, the second fruit, disappeared instantly. When Imam Ali alayhi salam was martyred, the pomegranates also disappeared. There remained just the apple. And the apple remained with both the sons. Imam Hassan alayhi salam consumed it. Imam Hussein alayhi salam consumed it. Ultimately, it remained only with Imam Hussein alayhi salam after the martyrdom of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. And then Imam Hussein alayhi salam remained with that apple. The fourth Imam, Imam Zainul Abidin, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Says he saw it with his father in Karbala, that it was in his hands, even in Karbala. And there was a day when Imam Hussein alayhi salam was seen not eating it but scenting it, and we get this from the fourth Imam alayhi salam. Suddenly he says, after the martyrdom of my father, I looked for that apple, and that apple also disappeared, could not be seen at all. One can see that those fruits were brought as a present by Jibreel only for the new son. So only they could have eaten, no third person. The extension was granted by the Holy Prophet alone, because he was the only competent authority who could give an extension to what Jibreel said. He extended that gift beyond the two sons to their father and mother, and once they left the world, those fruits disappeared also. But one can see that the status and excellence of Imam Hussein alayhi salam was such that it was the will of Allah that on this earth he should be eating the fruits of heaven. And not only eating the fruits of heaven, you know too well, and I will not consume time setting out the entire episode, he also wore the clothes of Jannah. A little boy he was, as was his brother, and on the eve of Eid, as you know, they tell their mother, all our friends are having new clothes, we also want new clothes, mother. And the mother says, yes, they are with the tailor. I'll cut the long story short because you know it so well. That very night, that is the eve of Eid, somebody knocks at the door, and Bibi Fatima asks, who is that? And she says, I am the Khayyat, I am the tailor of Hassanayn alayhim as-salam. Bibi Fatima al-Zahra opens the door saying, I never went to any tailor, didn't ask for these clothes. The clothes arrived, he leaves the parcel and goes away. When she opens the parcel, she finds two pairs, a pair of clothes for Imam Hassan alayhi salam, fitting his size, including the amama and the shoes, and a set of clothes for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And they wore them the next day. The Holy Prophet comes home, picks them up and says, what beautiful clothes you have, my sons. These, I can smell, are clothes from heaven. Takes them to Bibi Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha and says, Fatima, who stitched these clothes? And she says, I do not know. A person came last night, knocked at the door, and said, I am the tailor of Hassanayn alayhim as-salam. I am not sure, and I dare not speak in your presence. You will tell me who brought them. Bibi Fatima al-Zahra, herself the leader of the women of heaven, would have known. There she speaks, another etiquette that we learn from that household. She says to the father, you will tell me. And the Holy Prophet said, the moment you indicated by your words had come to had to come true. We examined this last year, how she is Siddiqa. No word will she utter that will not be true. And one person who gave testimony to that, you remember, was Aisha. Aisha, we discussed this last year, has said, I haven't come across a person more truthful than Bibi Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha. So you can see the children wore the clothes sewn in heaven, and he wore on this earth clothes belonging to heaven. And it does not even stop on that Eid. Another Eid comes. And when another Eid comes, now Jibreel comes to the Holy Prophet and says, Ya Rasulullah, I want to have the honor of bringing a gift for Hassanayn alayhim as-salam. And this again is very well reported in all works, including that of Ibn Shahri Ashub. And you have heard this. I only wish to make a point out of it, and so I'm taking 2 minutes of your time restating it. And the Holy Prophet says, yes. He brings white clothes for Hassanayn alayhim as-salam, saying they should wear this on the day of Eid. They are around, playing around, and the Holy Prophet calls them in and says, "Oh my sons, Jibreel has brought these presents for you. What do you think of them?" The children look at them, as we all do to our children. The children look at these clothes and they turn around, both of them. Both of them turn around to the Holy Prophet and says, "We like the clothes, but we do not like the color. We do not like the color white." So Jibreel says, "I will recolor them now for you. I will recolor these clothes for you now." And he turns to Imam Hassan alayhi salam and says, "What color would you like?" And he says, "I would like my clothes to be green." And Jibreel colors them green on the spot. And Imam Hassan alayhi salam on the eve day wears that green set of clothes. Turns to Imam Hussein alayhi salam and says, "Oh my master, what color would you like?" And Imam Hussein alayhi salam chooses red, and those clothes are colored red, and he wears that set on the eve day. You can see that it is the will of Allah that these people should be able to live even on earth as though they were in heaven, wearing clothes of heaven, eating food from heaven. And what wonder when I say this, when he always belonged to heaven, when he always belonged to heaven, and his birth is propagated in that way. You do this every Thursday night when you recite Jalat al-Waris. I quoted from it last night. "Ashhadu annaka kunta nuran fil aslab al-shamikha wal arham al-mutahhara." That is evidence that you give every Thursday night in Ziyarat al-Waris. I will not detain you further on it. Coming back to the point I was making. So this is how the excellence is shown on that particular occasion for these two sons of the Holy Prophet. But Jibreel, having done that for the children, then sits and weeps. Jibreel weeps. And the Holy Prophet weeps. And then Jibreel says to the Holy Prophet, "Ya Rasulullah, what a choice these children have made. I weep not only because of what will fall on them, but because how gladly and how happily they accept their faith from Allah, what Allah has destined for them. They accept them so happily, so gladly, that even for their clothes that they are going to wear on that day of joy, on the day of jubilation, on the Eid day, they want to be in the color in which Allah wants to see them when they go back and they return to Allah. Ya Rasulullah, Hassan will be poisoned, and will be poisoned to the extent that his entire body will become green." And that is what happened to Imam Hassan alayhi salam. And then turns around and says, "Hussein will be murdered. Blood will be all round his body. His body will be full of blood, just as the red clothes that he has worn." But they are satisfaction with Allah that even on this day of jubilation, they are happy to be in the state in which they will return to their Lord. And indeed, this is exactly what happened to Imam Hussein alayhi salam also, that he was filled completely throughout his body with his own blood. Well, it was in the last days of Rajab when that journey was to start. That journey which would end in the martyrdom, which would end in his own body being immersed in his own blood. And on that night, having come back from the government house and having met Waleed, Imam Hussein alayhi, as we saw last night, Imam Hussein alayhi salam goes into the house and meets Bibi Zainab alayhi salam and says, "Oh Zainab, Waleed, as you know, called me." So Bibi Zainab says, "Tell me, my brother, what did he want?" And Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, "He wanted my bay'ah for Yazid." So Bibi Zainab says, "What did you reply?" And Imam Hussein says, "I replied that I will think about it. Let us postpone the decision today to another occasion. We shall discuss the details in a couple of nights, inshallah." And Bibi Zainab alayhi salam says, "Very well. So what is your decision, my brother?" And Imam Hussein alayhi salam turns to Bibi Zainab alayhi salam and says, "Zainab, I am seeking your advice in the matter. What level does Bibi Zainab al-Qasr have? That Imam Hussein, the Hujjah of the time, is seeking advice from Bibi Zainab alayhi salam. And that is why you see, when this caravan was released in the month of Safar, and Yazid said to the fourth Imam, I decided to release it. What do you want to say about this? The fourth Imam alayhi salam says, oh Yazid, I will say nothing at all. Just as Imam Hussein says to Ali and consults his sister, now Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam says to Yazid, I cannot tell you anything without first consulting my aunt Zainab. I will come and tell you what she says. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam says to Bibi Zainab, says Zainab, tell you what you think of it. And Bibi Zainab says, oh my brother, you are my Imam, you are the Hujjah. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, Zainab, this is a mission which I have to partake with you in partnership. You must tell me what you think. And Bibi Zainab alayhi salam turns around and says, oh brother, if you want my commitment, let me say, how can you ever make bay'ah of a person like Yazid? There can be only one answer you can give. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, yes, I am heartened by your answer, O my sister. We will have to work in this mission in partnership. I will only be with you. And Bibi Zainab alayhi salam replies and says, oh my brother, that partnership I have already accepted with you. But oh my brother, you will be with me to the day of Ashura. From the day of Ashura, I will be alone, I will not be with you, nor will Abbas or Akbar be with me. But oh my brother, be assured, I shall act with such patience, with such sabr, that sabr itself will be astonished at my sabr. Imam Hussein alayhi salam asks his sister and says, those are the words, Zainab, that I wanted to hear from you. But then Imam Hussein says to the sister, says, Zainab, but you know you are not right, because even from Karbala to Sham, my sir, my head will be with you. Zainab, whenever in problem, look at my head and I will come to your help. And this happened repeatedly. We have examined so many instances of this in our previous sittings. This sir of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in Kufa reciting, in Karbala, Kufa and the Muscat, reciting ayats of Quran. Am hasibta anna ashab al-kahfi wal-raqib kanu min ayatina. Ajaba, Imam Hussein picks up that ayah of Surah Kahf and recites it all over the place. And then they sit down and make a list of the people to be taken. In that people, Fatima Zuhra is not included. She is not included in that at all. Bibi Zainab says, oh Hussein, how will Fatima Zuhra remain on her own? Yeah. And Imam Hussein says, my grandmother will be with her, Zainab. I cannot take her. And Zainab says, can't you reconsider that? And Imam Hussein says, Allah wants to test me for various afflictions. One of the afflictions is that I should be so far away from one of the daughters whom I love so much. And I should remember her on the day of Ashura. I should miss her and I should die missing my Fatima Zuhra. But Fatima Zuhra bids farewell to each one of those ladies. Say it again to Bibi Zainab. Of course, Bibi Zainab does not mention this to Bibi Fatima Zuhra and say, Zuhra, you can't join us. This is the wish of Allah. Fatima Zuhra takes Asghar in her hand and says, Asghar, I want to bid farewell to you. You have always been my companion. Whenever I have felt lonely, I have hardened myself, Asghar, playing with you. Asghar jumps from the laps of Mirabah unto the laps of Zuhra, and Zuhra kicks her. Now Asghar does not leave the laps of Zuhra. He does not leave the laps of Fatima Zuhra. Remains with her. No, nobody can take her away. Fatima Zuhra says, I will not part with Azhar except to the person to whom he willingly goes. Azhar, a newborn child, does not leave the laps of Fatima al-Zahra. Imam Hussein alayhi salam is called. He goes and whispers into the ears of Shahzada Azhar. The moment Imam Hussein whispers those words, he jumps out of the laps of Fatima al-Zahra into the laps of Imam Hussein. Bibi Zainab then asks later, Imam Hussein, oh my brother, what did you tell Azhar that he suddenly jumped from the laps of Fatima al-Zahra? And Imam Hussein said to Bibi Zainab, I told Azhar, oh Azhar, your shahada, your martyrdom in Karbala is of the peak of importance. What, Azhar, will you leave me to die in Karbala without you also coming to give your life? ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون رحم الله من يقرأ الفاتحة